So welcome to my first podcast in a long time. I'm bringing podcast back again, and I have none other than Paul Andre De Vera, the man behind the SEO show and the guy that gives much better introductions than I've just done there. But I'm really crap, Paul, with all the stuff that you've got going on with your show. I was going to say podcast, but it wouldn't really be fair to call it a podcast, the SEO show. But I've been on your show twice, and it's now my turn to find out more about what you do and a bit more about your journey, because we don't want people just to go, "There, Paul from the SEO show, he's just a host." There's more to you than that. We need to find out what that journey was like, what stuff you've done and all that. So thank you very much for coming on, Paul. It is an absolute pleasure to have you.
Craig, thank you, my man. Pleasure to be on.
So, as I said, everyone knows you for the SEO show. Well, I certainly do, and I think a lot of people will associate you with that. But just for the audience who are not aware of who you are, do check out the SEO show. But what is it you do day-to-day right now?
Right now, I mean, I'm an enterprise SEO, an in-house SEO at a company called Workday, $5 billion company. We have over like 15,000 employees and huge, we have over 50% of the Fortune 500 companies as our customer. So marketing to B2B companies and enterprise is something I do on a day-to-day.
And you roll within that company though, are you the manager, like an SEO manager, or what is your title in there? I'm just curiosity.
Oh yeah, I'm the global search marketing lead.
Cool. I just always love these big corporate names. I've never had one of those. So I might steal that one for myself and just put it in my room one day. But obviously off air we were talking about journeys and all of that kind of stuff. And I want to dig back a bit into your journey of how you got into, you know, a company of that size. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've all started out somewhere. So you've been in SEO around about 15 years, right?
Yeah, 15 years. 15 years doing SEO, but I've been creating websites for like over 20 years already.
So you come from a web development background.
Yeah.
That's always handy to have. But so what did your, you know, to tell us a bit more about the journey. Where did it start? What kind of companies were you working for? You know, why did you move away from web development as well?
Well, I mean, out of college, I was an entrepreneur. I didn't get my first corporate job until about 15 years ago. So, I mean, before then, I graduated college. I was creating websites. I was a photographer. Photographer was one of my majors in college. So I was taking pictures, which is why, you know, you can see all the great lighting in my shows and stuff like that, because I understand lighting. But taking pictures and creating websites, I put those two together. And I was shooting a lot of models back then, like in 2003. So I was a glamour photographer. So when I first started developing websites and creating content, I was in the adult industry and I was just shooting. I mean, it paid the bills. I mean, back then it was the adult industry was so easy to like make so much money until like all the free stuff came out, like Pornhub and all that stuff came out. When that came out, that's when I had to get a job because they started everyone started doing it all for free. So they wouldn't pay for none of my stuff.
Man, that sucks ass. So you made a few quid and then Pornhub came and messed it all up.
Yeah.
So what, like, obviously you then decided, fuck this, you know, I need to get a job.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about how you went about getting a job, because for me as a business owner, and you're probably going to have the same thoughts, but would you hire someone like you who's a bit more of an entrepreneur, a ducker and diver, you know, that's always a risk. So, you know, if as an employer, I would look and go, I ain't hiring that guy. He's going to use me for a few years and, you know, bugger off and start up on his own, you know, just because you've made decent money in the past. So did you find that as a problem trying to get a job? And if so, how did you deal with that?
Yeah. I mean, when you go broke, you get forced to do certain things, right? So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to really polish up. I mean, I wasn't polished myself. I mean, it was one of those things where I had to really, really work on my personal branding. It was one of those things where I had to like really put it out there, create my LinkedIn. I was stuffing that with keywords to make sure I get found with things. I mean, I was back then at LinkedIn also, when you ranked on certain things too, when people searched for people, it was a lot easier back then, like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, so it was one of those things where I really had to put myself out there. And it's, of course, I was making so much more. It was kind of like downgrading a little bit because, I mean, I wasn't making as much as I was making as an entrepreneur. And exactly what you're thinking, that mindset is kind of like tough. But I mean, later on down my career, I can talk about like how I lost my ego, because I mean, it's all about ego. You can't let your ego get in between your money making or whatever it is. Let that ego go. But hey, I was able to get hired. I'll show you this. I got hired because I was also a nightclub promoter. Check this out. I was a nightclub promoter and I got hired at a corporate job. This is my passport. Check this out. I got hired a corporate job with two Mohawks. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I took personal branding to an extent. I mean, I did two Mohawks because, you know, I want to stand out at the crowd. And I mean, but what I felt was that helped me get that first job back in 2006 was because of my personal branding. I was in the industry. I was in the entertainment industry. I was in the, you know, I was doing nightclubs. I was in the music industry. And so I actually got my first gig was in a music channel. So that was kind of like my leeway in. So I kind of stayed in the same industry. So no matter like how I looked or what I did, it was like kind of like from the past.
Yeah.
That was accepted. Yeah.
Interesting. And obviously, I'm going to assume because you were working in the porn industry and stuff like that in the past, going into a kind of job where maybe the tactics employed to make money and market and everything else were massively different. Like, how do you adapt to that? Like, I mean, for me, I've made it pretty clear that I've always kind of dabbled in the old grey hat and black hat side of things, which I thoroughly enjoy. And I don't think I could ever go full corporate. And I just think that's like shitty stuff. Like, how did you adapt to that?
Well, I learned by accident, because I didn't know what I was doing was black hat at the time. I'm not going to say which company I did it for, but they actually got some great results. And then with them having a big enough brand, because I work at big, huge companies, I think it didn't even matter, but it actually helped them with the tactics I was doing. You know, I was doing a lot of the blog commenting posts. I was doing buying all the social shares. And back then, like when we would see all this movement with all that stuff and, you know, buying stuff from Black Hat World. I mean, if you look at my profile on there, I was Papa Dre on there, and I was really, really active. if you check it out, you can see like some of my posts. I was really active there like over 10, 15 years ago. And then, you know, so that's where, like, you know, I was doing that. But like the SEO part, because I was a web developer, I got into as a web developer in that first gig. And then the person I was dating at the time, the girl was telling me like she had a client. And she was saying like, hey, you know, how much are you making as a web developer? Because I know someone that's doing SEO as well as making this amount of money. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm like underpaid. So this is where I decided to go ahead and work on a resume, put that on my resume. And one of the things that happened was, you know, I put Black Hat in there and then no one was taking interviews. Like, no, I was getting no responses because, you know, I didn't know Black Hat was a bad thing. I just like, you know, there's White Hat, Black Hat. I mean, in the corporate world, it was just like, okay, maybe I'll just take this off. And then once I took off Black Hat off my profile, off my resumes, you know, the call started coming in and, you know, I got my responses from recruiters.
You got to look back and go, why the hell did I put that on there, man?
Yeah. It's the ego, right? The ego, you don't know. And plus, you're still learning. So it's one of those things where you have to, I'm telling everyone, you guys, hey, if you want to get a corporate job, do not put Black Hat in your profile or anywhere.
Yeah, definitely do not. But you obviously, you know, got a job and all of that kind of stuff. But you mentioned again off air, you were able to increase your salary all the time as well. So you mentioned there, you know, you weren't earning as much as you were when you were working in the porn industry. You're probably on some lame-ass salary. So what was your thought process and what did you do to be able to command, you know, the extra salary that you were able to achieve? You said you times it by five or something. So
yep.
Give us a bit more insights into how that worked.
Yeah, so within about five, 6 years, I was able to about, you know, 5x my salary. And the thing is, it's not at one company. You can't do it at one company, right? Because it's so, I figured out working at an HR company and just understanding HR is like, you're not worth what you are after 2 years, right? You are worth a lot more after working at a corporate company for 2 years because they don't give you that much of a bump. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, so I kind of like took that. So I kind of, around my 2 year mark, I started like kind of like, you know, looking around and seeing stuff like that. So I gave it 2 years, you know, let it settle. And then I, you know, so was trying to like, you know, job hunting a little bit and seeing stuff like that. And then I was able to, you know, move easily to another job. And it was like, the thing is, one of the biggest tips I can give away, if you want to like really move and get like a job, like a digital marketing job, SEO job, is to have metrics on your resume, metrics on like stuff you like, accomplishments you've done, numbers, and actually a hard, like they say, digital footprint, right? Your footprints of a track record, you know, those keywords of what people, companies look for, you know, proven track record. And I had that proven track record, and it was really, really easy to seal the deal. I mean, but you know, you can get the eyeballs on you, right? But then you have to close it. Cause you're going to go on an interview. I interviewed with a bunch of companies, and then you'll receive offers and stuff like that. But some of the companies that I really, really want to work for, I actually put some extra effort into it. Right. And one of the things as an SEO, if they're gonna hire me as an SEO, you can actually do a site audit right before even being hired for them. Right. And they see that and you present it to them and they're like, wow, you know, you did all that. They don't know what you're using. Right. It's one of those things. Yeah. They don't know what SEMrush is, Ahrefs is, if that's, you know, if they're hiring, trying to hire you for that, but you have access to it. You can use it and do it like do it right before you get interviewed. So you have something to talk about. You can say, pick out their site. Like, yeah, if I come in, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And that was like one of the ways I was able to, you know, close a deal on one of the gigs I got.
Interesting. No, that's a good tactic. I think out of, you know, I had many years running an agency, and I don't think I can ever remember someone's resume or CV, as we call it here in the UK, ever had any kind of statistics or anything like that on it. There was nothing that went, whoa, you know, this person is doing some real good stuff there. So that's a good tip for anyone out there who is looking to get a job in this industry, put something on there. But was there anything else, you know, going from porn to, you know, the corporate world, was there anything else you would advise that you maybe felt, you know, you mentioned that you had two mohawks. Mohawks. What do you think, like, that look, you know, can that work in the, you know, going to a corporate thing, or did you have to adapt to that? Because surely, you know, I don't know, because I've not worked that much in the corporate industry, but, you know, I've got tattoos and stuff, and I can see sometimes, you know, I've been to speaking to a few people, and they've just looked me up and down and went, absolutely no chance in the past. So did you feel that was the case?
Oh,
as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I always cover it up right now. I mean, I'm used to it, but I'm 30% of my body is covered with tattoos. So it's like, it's one of those things where I kind of like, you know, wear with sleeves like this. Cause like right after this, you can start seeing it already. Right. So it's like, I put it like enough where I kind of hide it and stuff like that. Even like it's all over my neck and everything. But I had not only that, I had 9 piercings on my face. I had 2 tongue rings. I had 2 rings here. I had like earrings all over here. So I mean, I was a rock star. I looked like one of those rock stars that just kind of came in. But again, when I wanted to move from, because the first corporate job I got was in that type of industry. It was in that music industry. So it was a given. But I definitely had to clean up after, you know, if I wanted to go to more of the B2B SaaS companies, which is here big in the Bay Area. And that's what I ended up doing. So yeah, definitely a lot of that. I mean, I think nowadays with the whole, nowadays, like a lot of companies kind of like look past that, but at the same time, they do look at it. Like I would see people staring at my, like my lip ring. I'm like, hey, my eyes are right here. So definitely.
I think you have to see past that, you know, people are people and they've got good skills, and obviously people dress differently and have different things going on, but I was just curious to know if the corporate world was still looking at people in that way, and I think they are. Whilst you've got older gentlemen owning companies, I think we'll still have that for a while yet. But yeah, sometimes you've got to clean up your act as well. So that is interesting. But you're still in the day job, right?
Yeah, I have. And so let me go back even further. So like, you know, I was able to 4 or 5x my salary within the 5 years by, you know, by jumping, you know, like not necessarily jumping, but, you know, finding new opportunities every couple of years. And so like, if I knew that, you know, now that I know that, it's like, okay, I need to put myself out there. And what I did was I started doing, because I do paid search as well. You know, I started bidding on my own name, and I started bidding on like jobs like digital marketing lead, SEO lead, SEO lead, SEM lead, whatever, social media lead. And I would show up on the searches. I make it local just so like people like in the Bay Area can see it. So you're not spending as much. You know, I'd bid on those keywords, and I was like, hey, you know, I'll put an ad like hire me, you know, as your next, you know, paid search person, your next global marketing person. So like showing that, putting like a kind of like a billboard up just on Google itself. Right. It's like, it was a pretty way, pretty interesting way where some recruiters saw that was my skills. They're like, oh, wow. You know, I actually saw you on Google, as an ad. It's like, we're actually looking for a person that can do digital marketing ads for us. And then, you know, that was one of the ways I was able to do like, put myself out there, right? Again, about personal branding and stuff like that, by paying for my name and the actual positions. Like I bid for the positions, yeah, and show up.
That's crazy. Again, never heard anyone do that. What would that cost? Like, what sort of cost went into that? So you're looking for a new job, looking about, you put up some ads. What are you thinking in your head? Like, I'm going to spend $500. Like, what does something like that cost?
$30 a month. I spent like $1, $2. It was because it's very hyper-targeted, right? I want to work only in San Francisco companies. I put my name, I put all exact matches and stuff like that, you know, as much as I can. I mean, again, this was a few years ago too. So it was like before even a lot of like the broad modifiers and stuff like that. So it was like a lot easier. And I mean, I turned it on. And I just recently, like, even just like when that's, I only turn it on like when I'm actually like, you know, kind of looking or whatever, right? Because I mean, I get leads, like, or like people, like recruiters hitting me up when if I leave it on. So, you know, I turned it off there. But again, if once you get that lead, you have to close the person at the recruiting or whoever's recruiting you, right? And then another tactic I did was like, I started ranking for the position organically. So let's say if you search marketing global lead, this is the last one, the current job I'm at. If you search marketing global lead right now, I should be the first one on there. And it was funny because like at my last round of interviews with the company, I was like, hey, you know what? If you go ahead, I want to be your search marketing global lead. I mean, Google thinks so. So they searched my global lead, and they're like, holy, what? How'd you do that? I was like, you want to know? Hire me and I'll do it for the company.
Oh man, crazy tactics. I like them though. I like them. You've got to think outside the box. I think that's what we've got to do, because there's so many people going after these positions. And I think what you've done there is massively think outside the box to get that job and demonstrate your skills at the same time. So it's win-win. But you're still in the day job, and you mentioned earlier that you're an entrepreneur, and you've obviously been able to you know, get your salary up to a certain level. But do you do anything on the side? Do you have side businesses, or what is the plans going forward? Are you always going to be in a day job?
This is kind of like preference, right? If you love what you do and the company is willing to let you do it for other people, or like, you know, are open to doing it for other companies, because I started SEO consulting in 2018. So I started like doing, I have a 9-to-5. I was looking stuff out there. Like, there's nothing on like being that 9-to-5 entrepreneur, you know, like having a 9-to-5 job and being an entrepreneur also, because, you know, people want to just do one or the other. It's like, hey, you can do both if you love what you do, right? I mean, and you can get all the write-offs and all the benefits or whatever it is. But back in 2018, I decided to like, you know what? You know, I was talking to my HR company and their HR team. And they said, as long as the company is not in a competitor, you know, you're free to have a side hustle. And that's what I did. So I started now. I'm not going to mention the companies I do for, but there are other public companies that I do SEO consulting for here in the Bay Area. And, you know, you can only do it so many. Like, I keep it to like 3 to 4 at most. Because obviously, yeah, you still have a 9-to-5. You still need that time. You need that client face-to-face time. I mean, it helps now that we're, because my business, my consulting business, like, just blossomed last year because everyone was stuck at home. And so, like, I don't take local clients. I only take enterprise B2B clients that I know of, right? You know, like, these are people that, like, And for the most part, these are people I've colleagues I've used to work for at other companies. And like, hey, you know, can you like do this for our company here? So it's just by network. I don't promote it. I don't do anything. I'm very, very picky on my clients. They have to understand the value of SEO because, mm-hmm. you know, I charge $300 an hour just to like for my time. And then it was like, if it's one of those things where, and the book like, you know, 10 hours, you know, 20 hours here just to consult and get things done for them. So that's what's actually kind of like, you know, made things fun where it's, I can do consulting on the side. I even have time to do the SEO video show. And I, you know, I love what I do at my 9 to 5. And it's SEO is fun, man. Look, I love SEO right here, right? You can see it.
I do want to touch on the SEO video show as well. Yeah. You know, you're doing that. I'm assuming, you know, again, personal branding's there. Obviously, people will approach you potentially for work and everything else. But, you know, some people will argue, why is he doing that if he's in a big, you know, well-paying job? Why would you want to build a personal brand? So, like, for anyone else who's sitting in a day job, doing all right, you know, and, you know, maybe get 2 or 3 clients, why would you need to put yourself out there? What's the long-term goal and why are you doing it? Do you just enjoy it or... is there a longer term plan there?
Oh, definitely a longer term plan, but I love doing it, right? I put hours into the show, right? You could tell like with the production and everything, it's not something you can just throw up and do it like right away. I mean, I have like the equipment. I actually have to learn all the stuff I was doing, right? Like I only started the show about a year ago. Yeah, you were there like exactly like one of my first, like your first few guests. And then, you know, just you just had your 1 year anniversary here on the show. It's something that you have to be passionate about, right? I mean, I love SEO. I kind of like, I wear clothes that say SEO. I put it all over, like, you know, my channel and I talk about it. My, you know, my mom talks about SEO. She tells all her friends, like, I do SEO. I mean, I speak and breathe and dream SEO. It's one of those things where, and if I like it that much, like, hey, might as well have fun with it. Might as well make money with it. Cause hey, the channel's actually starting to make money as well, right? And I, like if you look at my, like I was comparing my costs, CPM costs for like, you know, other YouTubers out there. And yeah. I think like mine's like at $85 CPM. So I feel like I got the enterprise companies that are bidding on my channel because $85 is like, I think the average is what, $6-$7. And maybe some of the YouTubers will say like $15 is a good one. I'm at $85. And so like, even though I can't wait until one of these days when the show like actually gets more views, because I mean, I don't, you know, I'm still a small channel, but when that happens, I see the potential there. So that's why, like, you know, I was like, oh, okay, this is something that's pretty cool. But you're right. I do it for branding because like, it does raise up my cost. Like if I am able to get more clients, like, right. Like the clients, they can say, hey, I talk to all the best SEOs out there. Like, you know, if you have an SEO problem, they're just one, you know, one call away. I can just ask them. And so when you get me, you get everyone.
That's a good thing. And as I've said on many occasions, I think it's genuinely one of the best productions and stuff as well. You can tell there's a lot of effort goes into it, which obviously makes it more enjoyable for someone like me. You know, you know, it's small things I think make a massive difference to these things, and obviously the little trailer and all that you do and piece together as well, you know, and the crazy introduction and all that, you just, you know, you feel like $1 million. Yeah. And put that effort in. You know, sometimes you go to a podcast and it's just like, yeah man, you know, you're here and you go through the motions and shit, but obviously on yours it's massively different. So I think it's genuinely hand on heart way better than the majority of stuff out there. I don't think I've been on anything with the same level of production and everything else. So that it's good to hear it's going well, and obviously hopefully you do continue to keep, you know, keep growing that, because it's something I've had a little bit of success with, you know, with my YouTube channel, and I think it's a great platform and a great way to get yourself out there whilst tapping into other people's knowledge, rather than it just being great preaching all the time. You know, you can grab other SEOs in and just have a good conversation around whatever. So that's always fun to do that. But after the, you know, you've got your SEO show, you're doing your consultancy and all of that kind of stuff, are there any other, you know, things that you're looking to do? You know, what is the plan for the future?
Well, I do want to do more on YouTube, right? So I'm starting another channel. I own the domain dre.tv. So I'm going to make sure I have, I'm going to make it more of like a personal development, personal growth and mindset. I mean, the mindset of like help that helped me grow, because people are wondering like, okay, you got a great job. You do this, you have a great business, side business. Like, how do you do it? Like, so, I mean, as you can see, I read a lot of books back here. Like I read a lot. So knowledge is something that I really, really, you know, pay attention to and totally like recommend everyone reading and learning all the time. I mean, we're learning all the time on the shows, right? Like what we do when we talk to people, we're like, that's constantly learning.
Yeah.
And so this new channel I'm going to do is like, I'm going to do book reviews. I'm going to, like, cause I want to return, like, I want to be able to like, I retain all this information instead of like, you know, like going back, like if I can do a video on each one of the books I read and then like just put it out there and then help other people and then interview the authors of these, I think I would have something going there. Right. Because I mean, it'll be like all the authors and, you know, be able to, you know, bridge that part. And it'll be something I love doing too, because it'll be all the authors I've actually read about and all the things I just like talking about.
Exactly. I think content and continuing to learn is something I personally like to do a lot of as well. I don't necessarily read books, but I do watch a lot of videos and listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff like that. And, you know, that's just a personal preference. Mm-hmm. But I think obviously branching out into the mindset thing, I think one kind of unique thing you've got is a kind of weird ass mindset, which is a good thing, by the way. But, you know, thinking outside the box, just, you know, you've been able to duck and dive and get into a competitive industry whilst thinking outside the box. And I think, you know, a lot of people want to hear more about that. I don't think many people talk about the kind of creative craziness that goes on in some of our heads sometimes as marketers. So I think obviously for, you know, for me as well, I'm always looking to, you know, I've done the SEO thing and I've interviewed most relatively well-known SEOs in my time with the podcast, but it's now I want to go into other things, talking about maybe more businessy things or more mindset things, because you've got to go somewhere else. You can't just niche down if you want that growth. You know, you've obviously got yourself up to a certain level, but where's the next 10,000 or 20,000 followers coming from? And I think you have to keep evolving. So I think that's definitely a good shout. It's something I'm considering. I stopped doing podcasts for a few months. I wanted to take a break over the summer anyway, but it was just to give me time to reflect on, you know, where do I go next? What do I add? You know, how am I going to hit to, you know, 100,000 subscribers, which is my goal, because I really want that YouTube plaque you get for hitting 100,000 subscribers. Weirdly, that's my goal. I don't really have any kind of major plan as such, but I want that fucking plaque. And then you might hear less of me. So guys, when you're watching this, make sure you subscribe if you want rid of me. But yeah, but what other, you know, in terms of YouTube, what are your, like, are you constantly trying to look for other ways, other YouTube courses and all that kind of stuff? Is there anything else out there you feel is changing with YouTube in terms of getting that growth?
Yeah, I mean, again, you hit the nail in the coffin right there, because, I mean, you have to just open up your niche. Because if you're niche down, it's one of those things where you can't really, you only have a certain crowd. But if you open it up, then the growth is tremendous. And there's so many things you can do. On, like, I've figured out, like, the ways of how, you can easily get your 4,000 watch hours and, you know, 1,000 subscribers. There's so many things out there. I mean, I'll buy every single course out there. Everyone's. I have everyone's. I buy it. Even Holly's. It was one of those things where I'll learn, like, everyone, what everyone's doing. And, like, from Black Hat to just, like, you know, whatever, just from, like, the mainstream ones I put out there. And then I'm, like, you know, coming up with this like, you know, ideas. And like you said, I think outside the box. I'm trying to combine them somehow and how I can do these things. And I'm applying it to my new channel. So that's something, like, it's going to be an experiment for this new channel. I mean, it's basically youtube.com/PaulAndre. It's like I have my own name as a YouTube channel. So I'm going to combine all of my learnings and then run it. I'm going to experiment for about a year maybe. And then I'll put, like, my own course together. Because I know, like from what I heard from a lot of other YouTubers, at least, you know, if you're trying to make money on YouTube, like, majority of the money is coming from courses. Like, it's not, you know, it's like, yeah, they can get the ads, but they've, like, even the bigger YouTubers that, like, make millions on ads, they actually say majority of, like, a lot of their stuff is, you know, from, you know, the courses they built, because it's just, it's there, right? It's like the overhead's very, very low. And it's just like, it keeps coming. Even when they're, you know, not even creating more stuff, it's just, it can last you like for quite some time, right? And you can add more stuff.
Exactly. That's the great thing about it. But I think YouTube's a weird learning curve. I'm like you, I've bought everyone's courses, just trying to come up with my own plans and my own ideas and try stuff out. And some of it works, some of it doesn't, some of it's dated. But again, I probably never do a course on it because I think it's been a hard learning curve for me. I don't want to just hand that shit out to people, man. Fuck that.
Oh, you don't have to always hand it all out. You can just put it in there, and then you have you can do it in your private coaching stuff, right? And you can just okay.
I do. If people ask me, you know, I talk them through my YouTube growth and you know how I got quite a quick surge, you know, by giving away a free course. Mm-hmm. I got quite a lot of subscribers, but yeah, it's one of those things. YouTube's like Google, just constantly changing, you know, how things work, which is a pain in the ass. But it is what it is, and it's the fight that we're always fighting. You know, you're optimizing for all of these things, but yeah, it's fun, and it keeps us active, mm-hmm. Going forward. But going back before we do wrap up. You do this SEO show, which we've spoken a bit about there, and all of that kind of stuff. So what does your day-to-day look like? So right now, I know it's like 8:42 when you are a.m. and, you know, you're on here. When do you start work? Are you working remotely? What's the deal? What's your day look like?
Well, I mean, it'll change once we start going back to the office. But let's say like a Monday mornings, like I'm actually honest with my hours, right? I am actually like, you know, between 5 a.m. to about 9 a.m., I'm doing all my client work, right? All my client work and maybe stuff on the SEO video show, because my clients know that I have a full-time job too. So that's why they understand that, you know, I don't respond to them until either before or after 5 p.m. So then 5 p.m. to like 9 p.m., it's all over again. I'm working on my show and side gigs and just at that part. And then, you know, I do that throughout the whole year. I mean, the whole year, like the whole week. And it's something where I even do my promotions. I have a promotion schedule. Like I film myself. I'll post it every Monday. Every Wednesday, I'll take a clip. I'll repurpose one of the clips, like, you know, how to become an SEO expert. You know, I've asked all my guests that on the show, so I'll actually have that and post that on Wednesday. So that'll be my posting schedule. And then when I promote things, I always daisy chain everything. Like, you know, I always like, I create that open loop. When you say something, you always try to promote the next thing after the end of some other thing, right? So it's like one of the things that keep people coming back, keep the interest saying, oh, okay. So I do that throughout the whole week. And then on Friday is usually like I've, you know, like even at my day job, we don't have no meeting Fridays. So I'm not worried about having any meetings scheduled during my scheduled time, which is why I do it at lunchtime, my time. I mean, I don't want to do it during my company's time or the company I work for. So mm-hmm. that's why it's at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday, because that's the only time I won't get in trouble or anything like that doing it. Like it's my time. It's, you know, we have no meetings. I'll be open. And so that's what it is. And then I try to rest on Sundays. So I'm actually still working on Saturdays. You know, I kind of do like my sort of things, but Sundays I try to keep it my time. And, you know, I mean, hard work pays off. It's one of those things where, you know, you invest in yourself, you know, it'll outperform any stock out there, right? You know, you put all that money back into you, you get it back tenfold.
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head there, invest in yourself. I think a lot of people don't invest in themselves, and that's why they're always, you know, they're always sneaking about, maybe wanting free this, free that. There's no value in not investing in yourself. You know, don't always concentrate on the kind of free things. Spend some money and try and test different things and see how it works. And that's always been a good method for me. And it clearly looks as if it's working very well for you as well. But yeah, so finally, is your office actually opening back up? Are you ever going to get back to the office?
Yeah, there's going to be a schedule where it's like, you know, you come in. There's different types of strategy that they're going to do. They're going to have like one group of teams come in, alternate every other week. And, you know, they're going to come in like maybe just three times a week. But yeah, the total corporations here are, you know, enterprises, companies here in the Bay Area, like totally changed. Like, you know, there, it's going to be like an alternation. I mean, but I feel like the 5-hour work week is gone. Like, I don't think that's going to like happen. Like, you know, at least being in the office, going into the office, because, you know, it's you can actually get a lot more done working at home, but at the same time, I do want to see my colleagues, because, I mean, you know, being actual around people is actually a good thing. I mean,
no, I'm the same. I like, you know, just having banter and stuff like that, and someone to talk to, or someone to annoy, even. So you've got to have that sometimes. And I think, you know, for me, you know, we still have our office. We signed a new lease on it, and a couple of people go in at different times, a couple of days per week. Just now, it's not forced. It's not whatever. But I think people do need to get out the house, and just, you know, communicate again with other human beings, which I certainly miss, or have missed in the past. As I say, I love harassing people in the office, probably more disruptive than anything. But yeah, I also find that I get a lot more done just if I've got shit to do, like, or, you know, I just sit in this room, boom, 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 get it done, and then the rest of the day is my own. But yeah, it's interesting. I was just curious to know what your day looked like, and if guys in your area would ever get back into going to the office, because I know a lot of friends and stuff that had agencies and they basically just ditched their offices. They're just like, we don't need an office anymore. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a wise decision or not. Just yet, you know, but I've been fairly productive working from home, but I think me personally, I can't. I'll get lazy if I don't get out to the office now and again. So each to their own.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get a lot more exercise in the office because we have a gym there, we have ping pong tables, and, you know, we do all that stuff. It's something you do on a daily, so you're constantly burning calories throughout the day, and the office is big. So if you have an office like across the building, you have to walk like 2-3 blocks. it's you get a lot more exercise when you're in the office, or at least in my office, because we have like almost like a compound. It's like it's huge.
Yeah, no, it definitely is huge. But finally, before we wrap up, Paul, where is the best place that people can get you? Is it the SEO Video Show, or do you have a personal website? Where do you want me to tell people to find you?
You can find me on the SEO Video Show. I mean, I think LinkedIn's the best place to reach me. I'm on there. It's like one of those things where I feel I'm not on other social networks as most. I mean, I've started dabbling more onto Twitter because all the SEOs are on there, and that's where like a lot of my guests are on. So I've started being more active on Twitter. But LinkedIn is probably the best way to get a hold of me. Reach out to me, because LinkedIn's where the money's at, right? That's where the business is played. That's where, like, you know, people that want your business, that want SEO, like, so like, hey, you know, play where you want to make the money, and like, that's where, you know, it becomes your stream of income.
Yeah, no, well, I'll have the links below where you can find Paul, including his SEO Video Show, and do check that out. There's tons of good guests, tons of information from a wide variety of different people. And if you're looking to learn more about SEO, check it out, because there is certainly a wealth of information on there. But Paul, it has been an absolute pleasure finding out more about your journey and everything else. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on. I do appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on.